الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كل نفس ذائقة الموت، وقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تلهكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم عن ذكر الله، ومن يفعل ذلك فأولئك هم الخاسرون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers and also sisters at the madrasa, we have been discussing the contemplation, the meditation of Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayh. Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that my silence, Allah Ta'ala has ordered that my silence should be meditation, it should be contemplation. So Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayh, he goes to the graveyard following a janazah, and whilst people were engaged in the burial of the deceased, he went one side and he began to picture himself speaking to the grave, and the grave speaking to him. We have already discussed some part of that, the gist of which was that the grave is saying that, oh ye people, why don't you ask me that what I have done to those who have come into me? And then he goes on that what happened to their bungalows, what happened to their beautiful faces, what happened to their wealth, what happened to their palaces, what happened to their name and fame. Everything has been destroyed. If they were not obedient to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then there is nothing for them now in this life of the hereafter. I'm not going into details of that again, we will continue from there. But this grave, which we think is a very silent grave, but the silent grave is giving a very loud story. It's giving a very loud speech. It's just that we don't have the ears to listen to that speech. We think that it's a silent grave, but it's not a silent grave, it's giving a very loud speech. These people who have hearts, they take a lesson from all these graves also, which outwardly seem very silent. So then he goes on. Ah, kahan hai unke wo khuddam, jo har waqt hazir hon ji kehte the. Where are all those servants? For those who were not present, then you have to get a tape of last week to understand what we are discussing. But just to progress, and especially in this weather, your coming here is an indication of your love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and your concern for the hereafter. So then let us make the best of the opportunity that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given to us. Who knows? It could change our direction of life. So now he says that where are those servants who used to be always saying, I am at your command, I am at your service, I am at your beck and call. Where are they now? The kings, the rulers, the rich, the affluent ones. So many servants they had. But where are all those servants? Where are all those bodyguards who used to guard over those bodies? Can they now guard this body from the angels of death or from the azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? They cannot chase away anything from the grave. So he says, where are those servants who were in the service of these people? The graves, gives a very loud speech, as I said. ہر وقت حاضر ہوں جی ہاں کہتے تھے کہاں ہے ان کے وہ خیمے اور کمرے جن میں وہ آرام کرتے تھے Where are those tents now? Where are those canopies? Where are those beautiful homes? Where are those beautiful mansions? And where are those beautiful palaces in which these people used to rest? Why did they leave them behind? Why didn't they bring them along? کہاں ہے ان کے وہ مال اور خزانے جن کو وہ جوڑ جوڑ کر رکھتے تھے Where is that wealth of theirs which they used to accumulate and keep? Where is that gold and silver which they used to hoard? Where are all those Kruger Rands now which they stockpiled so that it may be of assistance to them? Remember, Sharia does not say that you must not save. It does not say that it is haram to save for a rainy day. It's not haram. What we are saying is that don't trust in those things that we are keeping, that they will come to our assistance. Make use of them according to Sharia, according to Allah Ta'ala's will and desire, according to the Quran and Sunnah. Then those same material things will gain us the closeness and the ma'rifat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But here the grave is in actual fact addressing those who were negligent, those who were indifferent, those who said that death is something that comes upon others. Although they didn't say it in words, but their actions showed that they were unconcerned about death coming upon them. If somebody wants to come out, there are three cars blocking him, 7243, 12476. And 476580ND. 7243124764765 476580. Please remove your car and assist this brother to get out. Unke Hasham aur Khadam ne unke liye qabar mein koi khana bhi nahi bheja. Where are all those cooks that he had, who used to prepare sumptuous meals for him? And they used to lay the table with all kinds of food and all kinds of dishes. They didn't send anything for him in the grave. Why didn't they send some dishes for him in the grave? Unki qabar mein koi bistara bhi nahi bicha diya. In the world they used to sleep on soft mattresses, soft beds. And again I say that if the person is using a soft bed, comfortable bed, and he is making zikr of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he is remembering Allah Ta'ala, it does not cause him to oversleep. It makes him get up for fajr. He makes shukr of that ni'mat that Allah Ta'ala has given. Then this person can also be a wali of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, sleeping on that soft, comfortable bed. Here we are again talking about those people who bought good beds, comfortable beds, so that they may have a good sleep until the sun rises. And they only got up and rose after the sun had risen. These are the people that we are referring to. That where are those beds now? Why didn't they send those beds also for them into the grave? Koi takiya bhi to nahi rakh diya. They didn't even keep one pillow for this person. Did we see anybody taking a pillow to the grave and say that when my husband used to travel out, then he was uncomfortable on the pillows that he had to use at other places? So wherever we traveled, we carried our own pillow with. Why didn't they send some pillow also to the grave? Where is that love of the dunya gone? They dearly loved the dunya and they thought dunya dearly loved them. But where is it? Why has it betrayed them? Why did it accompany them? Zameen hi par usko dal diya. Koi darakht phool aur phulwari bhi na laga di. Ab wo bilkul akele pade hain. Those beautiful gardens which he had planted, the orchards, the flowing streams of water, and all those wonderful scenery which he enjoyed. Where is it? Why didn't his servants, why didn't his khadims, why didn't his staff not plant some gardens here too? Why didn't they say that this grave, we rather plant some gardens here, plant some flowers? Koi darakht phool aur phulwari bhi na laga di, ah ab wo bilkul akele pade hain, andhere mein pade hain, unke liye ab raat aur din barabar hai, doston se mil nahi sakte hain, kisi ko apne paas bula nahi sakte, kitne nazuk badan mard, nazuk badan aurate, aaj unke badan bosida hai, unke aaza ek dusre se juda hain, आंखें निकल कर मुंह पर गिर गई हैं, गर्दन जुदा हो पड़ी है, मुंह में पानी पीप वगैरह भरा हुआ है और सारे बदन में कीड़े चल रहे हैं। He is now lying alone. The grave is saying that that friend of yours is now lying alone in the grave. For him the day and night, there is no difference. There is no such thing as the sun will shine and then the night will come after the sun has set. Nothing. Night and day have both become equal. He cannot meet his friends anymore. Those friends with whom he used to gamble. Those friends who used to take him to the cinemas and theaters and gambling dens. Those whom he used to consider to be his friends, who were giving him drugs and putting him on a high in the world. He thought that they were his friends. Where are those friends today? The husband thought that the wife was a friend, and the wife thought that the husband is my husband and my friend. If both of them obeyed Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then indeed they were friends. But if the wife encouraged the husband to do those things which were haram, and mocked him and teased him and laughed at him and made a joke of him, if he became pious and righteous. And on the other hand, if the wife became righteous and pious, that husband mocked and teased and made a big fool of her, then they were not friends. They were enemies. So he says, where are those friends today? Where are those friends? Why are they not coming to assist and help this friend? By which car is still blocking you? ND7243, we're going to move your car. Whose car is it, ND7243? He says they cannot even call anybody to them anymore. They cannot call these friends towards them anymore. Where are those friends gone? Unke aaza ek dusre se juda hai. The limbs have separated. The limbs are not together anymore too. Aankhe nikal kar muh par aa gayi hai. The eyes have come out of the sockets and they have come on to that which was at one time considered to be the face. It has come out of the eyes from the socket and it is on what was at one time the cheeks. No more cheeks, there's nothing left there. It has fallen onto that. The neck has separated and the mouth is filled with pus and with putrid, dirty, filthy water. So this is the condition of the person in the grave. Aur sare badan par keede chal rahe hai, and over the whole body there's nothing but worms. Brothers, this is why I say with deep-hearted pain that those people who are shaving their beards merely for the pleasure of their wives or for the pleasure of their friends or because they fear the mockery and teasing of some people in the society, then consider this situation in the grave. The worms are going to eat up those cheeks. There will be nothing left there. why this pleased Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for the pleasure of somebody else who will not come to our assistance in the grave. What a sad day that is, that the person goes into the grave and then when he is told that who is your Rabb, what is your deen, and then what do you have to say with regards to this person and shown Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Ta'ala will open up from his grave to Medina Sharif, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will be shown to him that what do you have to say with regards to this person. If the person obeyed Allah and his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if he loved Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he followed Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's teachings and his sunnats, then he will be able to say that that is my beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But otherwise it is going to be difficult. Agar daadi ke rakh lene mein chehra badnuma hota, agar daadi ke rakh lene se chehra badnuma hota, to daadi phir mere sarkar ki sunnat nahi hoti. If only the face was going to look ugly with the beard, then it would never have been the sunnat of my Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was the most handsome person on this earth, and Allah Ta'ala would not have said that he must keep a beard. So again, Hazrat Khaja Sahab's, Tere mehboob ki arab shabahat leke aaya hoon, Tere mehboob ki arab shabahat leke aaya hoon, حقیقت اس کو تو کر دے میں صورت لے کے آیا ہوں. At least in the qabr we can say, oh Allah, I haven't brought the haqiqat, but at least I have brought the surat of my Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whom you are showing to me. So he is my Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So make a start. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is prepared to forgive the past, but do not commit a sin which is apparent, and it is 24 hours a witness against us. Other sins a person commits and then it's gone with the time. If a person knows Billah has to steal, he stole. At that particular moment he stole. After that time, then he didn't steal. He will be arrested, caught, punished, whatever it is, but it was just for that moment. But in the eye of Sharia, the person who is shaving or he does not keep one fist length, then he is advertising 24 hours of the day that I do not like the sunnat of my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. I have mentioned many times that we must not consider ourselves superior or better than those people who do not have beards. We do not know what our condition will be in future. We should not consider ourselves better than them, but at the same time for them they should not feel it an embarrassment and a shame to keep the beard. Allah Ta'ala will give them respect in that, and these people for whose pleasure we shave, they are not going to help us when the worms are going to eat up those chins and those cheeks.
رہ کے دنیا میں بشر کو نہیں زیبا غفلت.
If you go to the Khanqah of Hazrat Mullah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, it is engraved on the wall there. Hazrat Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi's this poetry.
رہ کے دنیا میں بشر کو نہیں زیبا غفلت, موت کا دھیان بھی لازم ہے کہ ہر آن رہے. جو بشر آیا ہے دنیا میں یہ کہتی ہے قضا, جو بشر آیا ہے دنیا میں یہ کہتی ہے قضا, میں بھی پیچھے چلی آتی ہوں ذرا دھیان رہے.
ایسے رہ کے دنیا میں بشر کو زیبا نہیں غفلت. For a human being to live in this world and to be negligent, to be neglectful, to be indifferent, to be heedless of all the warnings and advices, that is not right, it is not appropriate, it is not correct, it is not befitting of a Muslim and of a believer. جو بھی آیا ہے دنیا میں, جو بشر آیا ہے دنیا میں, یہ کہتی ہے قضا. Whoever comes into this world, قضا means his death, tells him that I too am following you. ذرا دھیان رہے, be alert, be cautious, I too am following you, I am just behind you. ذرا دھیان رہے, don't be neglectful. نازک, کتنے نازک بدن مرد, نازک بدن عورت, آج ان کے بدن وہ سیدھا ہے, ان کے اعضاء ایک دوسرے سے جدا ہے. How many of them, they had tender bodies, very نازک مزاج, but even those نازک مزاج people, they had to put them onto the ground, they didn't even put any mattress there. And those charming beautiful faces, they are also on the ground being eaten up by the worms. وہ اس حال میں پڑے ہیں اور ان کے جوروں نے دوسرے نکاح کر لیے ہیں, وہ مزے اڑا رہی ہے, بیٹوں نے مکانوں پر قبضہ کر لیا, وارثوں نے مال تقسیم کر لیا. And he says that those widows, they have remarried. Many of them have remarried and they are enjoying themselves. The sons, they took control and possession of those homes of the fathers. The heirs, they came and they distributed the rest. Nothing is left. Those for whom he worked all his life and he was unconcerned about halal and haram, they are not concerned in any way now what is happening to that father and to that mother and to that brother and to that sister. All they are interested in is that what did they leave behind for us. Even the name plates have been changed now on the outside. There was Mr. So and so there, now you see the name of his son there. It's gone. Everything is changing. But we should not think that this is the condition of everyone in the grave. It must not frighten us and we must not despair of the mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and think that this is going to be everyone's condition in the grave. The grave is not a dark pit of the fire of hell for everyone. The Ahlullah, the Walis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and those who were obedient servants of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, they know that the grave is only an alam-e-barzakh. It is the hereafter that begins from there. In the journey of life, we have come to one station. The first station that the person arrived at was birth. From Alam-e-Arwah, then he came to birth. After birth, of course, first he was carried in the stomach of the mother for 9 months and then came into this world, and then the journey goes on and then comes death. Now another journey begins from there, the Alam-e-Akhirat, which will terminate on the day of Hashar. And from there it's either Jannat or Jahannam. So Allah Ta'ala either makes this grave a garden from the gardens of Jannat, or makes it a pit from the pit fires of hell. It depends what we make of it. So he says, Baz khush naseeb aise bhi hain, جو اپنے قبروں میں لذتیں اڑا رہے ہیں, ترو تازہ چہروں کے ساتھ راحت و آرام میں ہیں, لیکن یہ وہی لوگ ہیں جنہوں نے اس دھوکے کے گھر میں اس گھر کو یاد رکھا, اس کی امیدوں سے اس کی امیدوں کو مقدم رکھا, اور اپنے لیے توشہ جمع کر دیا, اور اپنے پہنچنے سے پہلے اپنے جانے کا سامان کر دیا. But who are these people who will be enjoying themselves in the grave, where the angels will say, Nam ka naumatil arus, sleep away now like the new bride sleeps. Nobody will trouble you till the day of Qiyamah. And Allah Ta'ala will open the gardens of the doors of Jannat, and that fragrant breeze will blow into his grave. And the grave does not mean the 6 feet deep hole that has been dug. It means wherever the soul is. If a person drowned in the ocean and the fish swallowed him up, a huge fish, or he was devoured by a lion or a cheetah or a tiger, or he was burned to ashes, then that is his grave, the alame arwah, the alame barzakh, the life of the after death until qiyamah. So it is that soul that we are really referring to, that will experience. It is the soul which really experiences the pain and the hardships and the difficulties. If there's no soul in the body, then there's nothing. If there is a soul, then the person is experiencing all kinds of difficulties, hardships and enjoyment and pleasure and everything else. So these people who will be enjoying themselves are those people who obeyed Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. They were not neglectful. And they sent ahead of them, before they went to the grave, they sent ahead the comforts of the grave. And what were those things? It was the good deeds and good actions. The namaz, the roza, the zakat, the hajj, the generosity, the kindness, the honesty, the charity, the sincerity, the everything, all any good deed that he did, the fulfillment of the rights of the parents, of the children, of the wife, of the teachers, of the customers, of the neighbors, whatever he did which we term as amal salih. Now those things will light up his grave. There will be so much of noor there, so much of comfort there, and those are the beds and the mattresses and the gardens of the qabr. When the person has got that, then his qabr is not dark, it is lit up. There's so much of noor there that there is nothing to fear. But the person has to send ahead. If a person is told that he will be posted to another country as an ambassador, then before he goes there, they make sure that everything is there. Whatever he requires, his home, office, this, that, everything is provided, then he goes there, and for him is nothing, it's comfortable. He's got car there, he's got servants there, he's got everything there. So in the same way, before we leave, before we depart from this world, if we send those deeds ahead, then there is nothing to fear. Those graves will be beautiful places to live in. It is not going to be a dark place as we imagine it to be, or what we just heard. What we just heard is for those people who are all the time engaged in nothing but the accumulation of wealth, property, haram way or halal way, unconcerned about namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, unconcerned about the rights of others, full of pride and anger and deceit and cheat and fraud, then that is for them. But those people who are making every effort, no, it might not be perfect, but they are making an effort, they are trying. They make mistakes, they err, they fall, they slip, but they get up again, they try, they make tawbah, they make istighfar, they go out of their way to try to fulfill the rights of everyone. If it's money is due to somebody, they're making every effort to pay that person. If injustice or harm has been caused to anyone, they're making every effort to go and make amends. Then these people, when death will come, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will inshallah raise them from those who were the ta'ibin. And those who are ta'ibin, they are just like the person, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, that the person who makes tawbah from his sins, he is as if he hasn't committed sins. Meaning that if he followed these rules of tawbah, then if death comes along the way, Allah Ta'ala will give him the rewards of being a perfect Muslim, inshallah. It is just like a hafiz of the Quran Sharif, that one is a complete hafiz. And the other person is trying, he's becoming a hafiz. But he's learning only one ayat, two ayats, five ayats a day. And it takes him 30 years, 20 years or 40 years to complete. But if this person, whilst trying to complete, if he dies, then he will be raised up with those who were the huffaz, because he was making an effort to get there. So this is what is expected of us, that we should not be negligent. We should not consider our life to be permanent on this earth. We should take a lesson from all what is happening around us. And also for ourselves, we should picture these things sometimes, because we don't have to our credit so much of good deeds. So we picture that this is what is happening to those who were sinful and disobedient ones, and those who left this world in kufr and in shirk. Then this is what is happening there to them in their graves. So we do not want to go that same route. If we are told that on this there are two roads leading to some place, to our destination, but the one road is very dangerous. There are hijackers, there are murderers there, there are crooks there, and there's lions and cheetahs and ferocious animals. So the person will say that, well, then I'd rather take the safe route, avoid that route. Now here we are being given warning all the time that this is what is happening in this route if you have to take. So what should a person do? Just think that, how long am I going to live in this world? The remembrance of death is just to put a break on those haram desires that come into our hearts. I will conclude tonight's majlis quickly with one incident that comes to mind. as an example it is given by Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Ali. He says that the person, what is this world? The person who is sinful, the person who is negligent, the person who is heedless of all the advices. Every person on this earth who is living here and who is unconcerned, then he should consider this example. So that what is life on this earth? It is like a person that is walking in a jungle. He is walking in a jungle. And then suddenly when he looks back, he finds a lion that is coming towards him. So now in fright, he runs. He runs from the lion. But when he runs from the lion, where must he go? So he finds in front of him a well. There was a well. So he thought that I rather jump into this well. After the lion is gone, I will come out. But when he looks into the well, he sees a huge python inside there with mouth open so wide. Now behind him is a lion. Deep down in the well is a huge python or a big cobra or a big snake with mouth open. So in that fear, in that fright, he does not know what to do. He looks up, he finds a branch of a tree that was near the well with a branch just above the well. So he decided that the best thing to do is to jump and hold this branch. So he jumps and he catches that branch. Now he's hanging and waiting for the lion to go past. But whilst holding that branch, when he looks down, he finds that there are two rats that are eating up at the root of the tree. Woodpeckers or whatever you can call it, but there are two rats, he says. And they are eating up the root of the tree. The one is a black one and one is a white one. Black rat and white rat, both are eating up. Now he doesn't know what to do. Down in the well, there's a huge snake. Outside there is a big lion. Now here the tree is being eaten up, and very soon this branch, where the branch is, he is hanging on, he will fall, and he's going to fall right into the mouth of the snake. But then in that state, when there is a lion behind him, when there's a snake down there, and all kinds of problems he is in the midst of, when he looks a little up, he finds a honeycomb there. Sweet honey dripping from that comb. So when he looked up, he says, oh, what a wonderful thing. How kind Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has been to me. Look at it, he blessed me with this honey right here. So now he forgets that there's a lion there, there's a snake there, there's a well there. He forgot all that now. Now he keeps opening his mouth like that and sucking the honey. In the meantime, that tree is being eaten up. And the branch snaps and he falls into the mouth of the snake. Or he falls outside, the lion gets him and then eats up whatever he can and balance throws it into the well. Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayhi says, the trunk of the tree is life. The trunk of the tree, that's the life of the person. Those two rats, black and white, are the day and night. Day and night, his life is going. With the rotation, the changes of from day to night, every day of his life, one day of his life is gone. So those rats are his life, the night and day, the taking away. That lion, that snake, all those things are his bad a'mal and his bad deeds that are going to cause him tremendous amount of harm and problem in the grave. Those are his bad a'mal and bad deeds. And he knows too that they will cause him great amount of harm. He knows that he will suffer all this what we have heard, which the evil ones will go through in the grave. But in the midst of all that, when he sees something that tempts him, something that is pleasing to his nafs and to shaitan, the evil pleasures, the evil desires, then he indulges in them, forgetting that what is going to happen to me. He becomes negligent totally of what is going to happen to him. Now he is enjoying the cinemas, the theaters, the gambling dens, the women who are illicit and haram to him. He is enjoying everything, and he forgot that he is hanging on a branch, the root of which tree is being eaten up, and very soon it will snap that branch. He forgets that. And then suddenly death comes. The branch snaps, death comes, and that's where he falls after that. So from this example he says that this is what a person should be concerned about. That he must run away from the lion, from the snakes, from all those things that will give him harm. And do not go for those things that tempt him which are haram. Because at that moment when all these things are behind him, how can he be going towards that which is outwardly looking to be very, very delicious and very pleasant, outwardly. At that time he should not even look at that. He should be just watching that lion and watching that snake. But if the person was doing good deeds, and if there was no lion behind him and there was no snake there, and then he was getting honey, then alhamdulillah, make shukr and use the honey. That means if it's halal ni'mat that Allah Ta'ala is giving with his pleasure, then make use of it. Make shukr of Allah Ta'ala. But if it's coming in a haram way, then think of this lion that's behind and that snake that's there waiting to swallow up the person as soon as his life ends. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give me, give you and the entire ummah the tawfiq to make amal on these nasihats of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and make our life such that it becomes pleasing to Allah and His Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, so that when we go from this world and we enter our graves, the graves may welcome us and say that when you were walking on my surface, you were most beloved to me. Now come down and see how well I treat you. That is what we should make dua, that Allah Ta'ala make our lives like that. Amen. And Allah Ta'ala must make our graves a garden from the gardens of Jannah. Amen. And not a pit from the pit fires of hell. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اے اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما خطاؤں کو معاف فرما لغزشوں سے درگزر فرما اے اللہ ہمارے صغیرہ کبیرہ عمدن خطاءً ظاہری باطنی ہر گناہ کو معاف فرما اے اللہ ہمیں پاکیزہ زندگی نصیب فرما پر لطف زندگی نصیب فرما تیری رضا والی زندگی نصیب فرما اور جب ہمارا موت کا وقت آئے تو میرے پیارے خدا ہمارا خاتمہ ایمان کے اوپر فرما برکت والی موت نصیب فرما تیری رضا والی موت نصیب فرما اے اللہ ہماری آخرت کو درست فرما ہماری دنیا کو درست فرما ہمیں دنیا اور آخرت کی بلائیوں سے مالا مال فرما اے اللہ ہماری قبر کو جنت کے باغیچوں میں سے ایک باغیچہ بنا دے اے اللہ جہنم کے عذاب سے ہماری حفاظت فرما اے اللہ ہم سب کو صحت عافیت عزت سلامتی نصیب فرما اے اللہ دنیا اور آخرت کی تمام بلائیوں سے ہمیں مالا مال فرما جو بیمار ہیں ان کو شفا عطا فرما جو قرض دار محتاج تنگ دست ہیں ان کی پریشانیوں کو دور فرما جو بے اولاد ہیں ان کو اولاد صالح عطا فرما اور جن کو اولاد دے چکا ان کو نیک والدین کے فرما بردار اور تیرے حکموں پر چلنے والی اولاد بنا سارے عالم کے اندر جتنے دینی کام ہو رہے سب کو قبول فرما سب کو اخلاص کی توفیق سے مالا مال فرما اے اللہ تیرے پیارے نبی علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کی شفاعت ہمیں نصیب فرما ان اللہ و ملائکتہ یصلون علی النبی یا ایھا الذین آمنوا صلوا علیہ وسلموا تسلیما اللهم صل علی سیدنا محمد وعلی آل سیدنا محمد مبارک وسلم سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون وسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ